also gut leisten. Es ist schön, kontrolliert werden. Es ist komplett typisch für die Kriminalisten, wo ihr sitzt, und wo ihr in Frieden und Wunder ist. In der spiritual world.
Fundamentally, life should be prosperous. Fundamentally, all life should be prosperous. The sign of poverty whether in one's inner life or outer life is an indication that what is to be manifested is yet not manifested. This world is a garden of God. This world is therefore a garden of plenty. And if things are done in the right way, then all that is needed at the right moment will automatically flow. This is the ideal condition. But to reach the ideal condition, we have to have the right attitude. In the right attitude, two things have to be developed. One is the capacity to bear any kind of condition of life in which you are put now. If it is poverty, you are able to bear it. Not that it should be continued. Bearing does not mean that you are sanctioning continuing for poverty. But you should have the capacity to bear it. You should not be grudging, complaining, feeling helpless. Poverty can be suffered bravely, rightly, heroically. This is the first condition. The second condition is that we have to work very hard to remove poverty. And we have to find out the right means of removing poverty. There are many wrong means also of removing poverty, but there are also right means of removing poverty. What are the right means? The first means is utilization of your present resources by circulating the resources. The circulation is a very important method. When resources are circulated, then there is a movement of increase. It's a ticket of increase of wealth, circulation. Circulation is sometimes done with a greed to receive return in a big manner, and this is as follows.
There is some connection between literacy and knowledge.
some condition.
No, entire connection. We proceed with later. And for higher realms of knowledge, this is very important. If a child refuses to learn the alphabet, you have no right to enforce upon the child. But you have a duty to explain that he is free to become illiterate if he wants to. Or he means the same if he wants to. But do not imagine that you will become a genius. If you really want true perfection, then learning, studying, even to detect it is very important. But to believe that only through literacy you can be it, or that because you become literate, you also become programmed with genius, that also is not true. There are people who are illiterate and yet become great masters in regard to many things. Sri Ramakrishna, for example, without knowing much of reading and writing, he could become one of the greatest teachers of the world. Akbar, without knowledge of reading or writing too much, he was one of the greatest emperors in the history of the world. And you know, in India, for example, millions of immigrants who are very close to God in their heart, they are closer to God than many learned people on the other hand. That is a fact. But see, it's not the only means by which we literate can approach God. Karma Yoga is also open to that. Not only Bhakti, but Karma also, we can open it. Even knowledge is a means. Because literacy only makes you read and write. But knowledge can be also heard. Remember, hearing you can approach the higher reality through knowledge. That was the reason why Indian sociologists encouraged a good deal of hearing. So Shruti Parampara in India has actually checked our masses, who are illiterate but not uneducated. There are a number of them who do not know how to read or write, but they are extremely educated. Yesterday I was meditating in a field in Nilokhari in Punjab. When I opened my eyes after my meditation, I saw a farmer sitting near me. And he smiled when I opened my eyes and he said, "I was sitting near you because I have a problem.
When I was in a hurry to go back to my work, I said, if you don't mind, can you walk with me? So he walked with me. And I said, what is your problem? He said, I sit down because I feel that I'll get some good answer from you. That's my problem. I said, what is your problem? He said, I've been trying for years and years to avoid jealousy. But I'm still not free from it. So please tell me how to master jealousy. And this was the question of this really great farmer. And I was so touched by him. Of course I taught him wrong. But if you only to just say that the illiterate man was so educated. And if you are more educated than many of us, we don't regard this as a problem at all. We take jealousy as a part of our human nature. We don't try to deal with it. But this man said, I was trying for years and years. And the problem was that he was so acute that he sat down there, waited for about 2 hours or so, in a long meditation. And must have been sitting there, I don't know how long. And then when I got up, he simply put this question to me. These are the peasants of India, and there are many examples of this kind that one comes across in India.
Because
your question is not one way to say that. But illiterate can approach by shooting, so knowledge is open to them. They can approach through karma yoga, passion, like us there. They can approach bhakti through bhakti also. All the three can be combined even for the illiterate. And anybody who is prepared to do these three can also be introduced to the illiterate in due course. And open the other parts of knowledge which are available. That also can happen. Our approach has to be integral, therefore all methods have to be applied. Any other questions?
You have the answer to me.
This is one of the most difficult things in the world. Because the root of jealousy is the sense of being influenced in a very small circle. We may have a huge jealousy laden physically. But mentally we normally live in small prisons, very small prisons. So small that we feel as if we are in a big crowd, in a very narrow street. Something like Bhuleshwar in Bombay. Small area, and such a huge crowd of people. And you do not know how to put one step forward. And you are all the time elbowing out everybody else. This elbowing out causes you to be jealous. It's an experience that you are in a very, very narrow place and you have to move forward and for moving forward we have to have our other people. Now if you remember this, then jealousy can be given, first of all. First you have to remember that we are not obliged to be in this ministry. You may find ourselves in the ministry, but first remember that we are not obliged to be in the ministry. Secondly, even if you are in the ministry, employing out others is not the only method of finding your way in moving forward. As Mother once said, the world is very vast and everyone has a place in it. And everyone has a wide space of place in the world. Because the world is really very vast. So we have to remember that the world is really vast, in which everyone has a place. And this effort of elbowing out others is not necessary at all. We think that elbowing is the only solution because we are so much cramped. So you have to put other people out.
Suppose
it's the other way around. Somebody else comes to elbow you out.
How do you
position yourself? Same way. You see that we are being elbowed out because we are living in a small world. If you know that there is a vast world in which you have a place, you will try to look out what is your near place. Why are you being elbowed out? You are not at the right place where you are. If you are really at the right place, you won't find somebody elbowing out, elbowing you out. So the important point is that wherever we are, even though at the time when you are being elbowed out and you are trying to do something in self-defense, about which I spoke just now. Hey, it's all right, self-defense, we can have those three methods which I spoke about. But they are provisional. But gradually, you enter into the vast world. Remember that you are a member of a vast world. And you have a place in the vast world. And your present problems are because you have chosen to live in another world. Your choice is not correct. So try to become a member of the vast world. Then you will not need either to be elbowed out by others or elbowing out others.
Whichever is all you see, sometimes came down or this is the decision of our own mind, we feel that it's very much not that we can listen to towards that question is only.
Yes, your feeling of right or wrong is provisional. Both are right and both are wrong. Elbowed out, both are right and both are wrong. In elbowing others out, both are right, both are wrong. Because all of us are citizens of the mirror world, which is itself wrong. But when we in the mirror world, we are trying to find out something. So as long as we are not found out the right means, people are elbowing each other. So it's a situation of compassion. People will always try to find some means of elbowing each other out. And as long as you are doing it, you cannot tell if it is wrong or right, because the situation is wrong. So the only method is that while you do all that provisionally, whatever you do, But we are entitled to a wider world.
Very fortunate.
Yes, yes, we are entitled to a wider world. So discover the wider world of which you are a member and occupy that place. And then there is no need of jealousy. As Vivekananda said, you are born without jealousy. He has no jealousy of his life at all. He had, by birth, he was free from jealousy. He was born in a right world. So we should have that kind of life, like Vivekananda, living in a right world all the time.